The honest truth is, I never really believed it. I'd been to Florida before for a total of 16 hours. I've never been to Orlando, I'd never been to Disney World. And everyone always told me that was the happiest place on earth. That Disney World is the happiest place on earth. So I figured it was a really cool place with lots of great Disney characters running amok, and you know, the, I guess you could say, like, all the rides and everything. I figured that it was a really great place to be. But I had no idea what it was really like being inside that park and getting around. I spent 2 days last week in Disney World with the kids, and I'm telling you, it was an eye-opening experience. I've never seen anything like it. You get off the ferry into Magic Kingdom. Those who have been here know what I'm talking about. If you don't, whatever. But you get off the ferry into Magic Kingdom and travel after you go through that small lake with the palace in the background and everything there. There's like a palpable excitement that hits you. And it hits everybody there. The people all around you, even though you're stuffed into this tiny little boat with like hundreds of people around you, and it's standing room only. There's seats for like 6 people, and it's always the youngest teenagers that are sitting in the seats. All the old people are always standing up, right? Everybody's smiling, laughing, talking to one another. Everybody's like oohing and eyeing over the scene in the front, right inside there. Even though it was pretty cold outside, it wasn't in the greatest of weather, people were the happiest I've ever seen them in my life. I've never seen anybody like that. Then you get to the park itself. The woman who takes your tickets that you just spent your life savings on just smiles at you and says, "Have a magical day." And you're sitting there and like, that's so cute. Like, what a cute little thing. They check your bags for all the, you know, the security guards for contraband and like weapons, right? They smile at you after you finish. They have a magical day. And then you walk inside the park, and all the characters, right? Mickey Mouse, Donald, Goofy, they're all there. We're on a first name basis now because we're besties and everything. So they're all there, and they all have this like plastic smile on their face that doesn't go away ever. And they're just smiling at you, and they don't say a thing. I don't think they're allowed to talk because you have no idea what's going on inside there. I'm sure they're just robots. And they're sitting there, and even though they don't see a word, you're like the happiest person in the world when you see them. You can't explain it to anybody. You just are. You're just happy. Even my kids, who have never seen a Disney character movie, they've seen Finding Nemo. They watched part of Frozen. I think only the parts with the songs in them, right? So that they've seen, they loved it. They've never seen these people before. They had no idea who Goofy was until I told them, oh, he's just a doggish type creature, right? That's all you can describe him as. They had no idea, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They wanted to stand in line just to take a picture with a character they had never met before, never even heard of 5 minutes beforehand, but they were willing to stand in line for a half hour to be able to go through. The rides are not that great. None of the rides are good. The rides are like, I don't know, an eighth of any of the rides that you've ever taken in any park anywhere. They're terrible. They're shorter, they're not as good. Like all of a sudden that one little ride that you can get at a regular carnival at Lincolnwood Fest, which you have to pay like 25 cents for, you have to wait an hour and a half in line because it's got a little Dumbo thing on it, and it looks like an elephant that, you know, with huge ears, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest ride ever. It is the same ride with a silly little elephant on it, yet it doesn't make a difference. Everybody's there. The lines were all over the place for everything. Now granted, my kid got me through everything, because all you have to do is go through with a wheelchair and everybody's like, oh, you're a god, go through. And that was fine, so I didn't have to go. But nonetheless, the food was the worst, most disgusting food. I was told later on, it's Mamash, 100% true. It is food that they serve in jail. This is the food that Lubavitch serves in jail to people that keep kosher. That's what you're being served at Disney World. Impressive, right? Unbelievable. And nonetheless, it was the best time. Everybody was having a great time. There was nothing. And I really couldn't understand it. At the end of the day, there's a fireworks show. I've seen fireworks before. I've seen fireworks. There were thousands of people all standing, milled in together, right in front of the palace, looking up when, I don't know what it was, either Tinkerbell or Peter Pan, like goes to on a little rope and like goes through the park, like in the air right above you, and you can see the string right above you, and he's like flying right above. People are like screaming. I was like, this is the ever, and like people are going nuts, and you're just sitting there. It's a clearly visible string, people, but nonetheless, everyone's going crazy. Honestly, I would be surprised if when Mashiach comes in, it's going to be this much fun. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's honestly to the point where I couldn't understand what was going on. I couldn't get it. But I chapped when I was there the second day at Epcot. Went to Epcot. Now, Epcot is not on the level of Magic Kingdom. Epcot is like the lower level. You know, it's like the secondary type park. It's just not as good. Still have some great things there, but it's just, you know, it's not the same thing. We were about to go on a ride where you make your own roller coaster, you create your own roller coaster, and then you ride it in a virtual reality 4D simulator, which is a lot better sounding than it actually is. I'm just gonna tell you right now, it is totally not worth the wait. I got in straight in. But for those people who are waiting, totally not worth waiting whatsoever. It's an awesome theory in practice. And we met a Disney worker, a guy who was there in line, a guy just at the front of the line, who looked like he did not belong. He wasn't smiling. He'd been there for a while, I asked him. He'd worked there for 30 years. He started off in the Jungle Cruise, right, to be able to bring the people around. And I guess he was like one of those out of work actors and whatever it was. And like, he was done. He'd been there for 30 years. He had never moved out of Orlando. He had never gone anywhere else. And he was clearly just there because he's waiting to die. That's all he was. He didn't want to be there. And it was the first time, and I hopped right then, it was the first time that I saw somebody working there that didn't have a smile plastered on his face, that wasn't willing to go the extra mile for you. We went up to people and they're like, you have a wheelchair, we're so sorry, what can I do for you? Hey, are you having a great time? They were all so happy. Come in line, come over here, trying to help everybody. People are always happy. All of the workers like that. And this one guy wasn't. And I looked at the line, and the people in line were totally different than everywhere else in the park. Every single person was like, this is taking a little bit long. How long is it going to be? People were complaining. I hadn't heard a single complaint from anyone. People are standing in line for hours at a time. Nobody's complaining. And yet here, people in line were complaining. It didn't make any sense. What's going on? Why did that all of a sudden happen? So I am about to reveal you to all of you the secret of all the Disney parks. So if I'm found dead tomorrow morning, okay, with mysterious circumstances surrounding it, you'll know it's because of what I just said today. So when the police come asking, right, all those guys come in, you'll know that this is the idea behind it. Disney pays their workers to be happy. They put out those characters smiling, and not just happy, I mean like Happy the Dwarf. Like, they're all smiling like there's nothing else in the world going on except for the park and you. That's what they're telling them to do. They're telling you that no matter what happens, they're telling the workers, no matter what happens, they are going to help. Have you ever seen a teenager smile? Because I haven't. I've seen them smirk. I've seen them laugh at people, not with people, but at people. I've never seen a teenager smile until I went to Disney parks. And even the workers who are clearly teenagers, and you could tell, even they were not just smiling, they were having a good time. Working a ride that they've probably done for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. These are people who are either high school dropouts or not enough to get into college. And they're having the time of their lives running a little machine going, all right, guys, put on your safety belts. The time of their lives. They're being paid to do stuff like that. I saw show after show of actors who clearly can't make it in Hollywood and can't make it in any comedian shows or anything like that, in any stand-up acts, who are saying the silliest jokes, and the jokes are not just not bombing. They are so funny. People are on the floor, 10 people dying out of laughter from what these guys are saying, and they were terrible. They were horrible jokes, but I find myself going along with them because everyone that works there is happy. Everyone. Everyone's around. They surround you with happiness. They inundate you with simcha to the point where you can't get away from it. Can you imagine? That guy who was working the front of the line could have been some cantankerous man who lost all of his savings to the Madoff schemes. Right? And now, instead of retiring like he wanted to at some Hilton Hotels vacation resort in Orlando, now has to work the roller coaster ride at Disney World. And aside from him, everyone else is happy. Everyone else. I got shot. you surround yourself with simcha, then everything is simchadik. You surround yourself with people that are not happy, and everything is bad. It's all about what you surround yourself with, what you put yourself around. If everyone here says that Skokie Yeshiva stinks, then it doesn't matter what Skokie Yeshiva has. Skokie Yeshiva stinks. If everyone goes around and saying, this place is awesome, then the place is awesome whether it's true or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Things change when people around you are different. When everybody's smiling, when everybody's having a good time, when everybody's laughing. Things are different. I came home on Friday night, and I considered this the whole time when I was walking home from shul to my house, and I was by myself. I didn't want my kids to come with me because it was too long of a walk, and we had come back that morning. I sat there and said to myself, I'm going to try a little experiment. I'm going to see how this works. I want to see if it works well. And I walked into my house singing and dancing to Shalom Aleichem, and my kids all got up from the couch, from the table, from wherever they were, except for Novi. They all jumped up, and they started dancing with me and started going around, each one of them. It was just, the enthusiasm that I showed made me lose my voice. I lost my voice that Friday night, but the enthusiasm that I showed spread like wildfire. The kids were just into it. They were upset. They didn't want to go out of 70-degree weather. They didn't want to spend Shabbos in Chicago. They didn't want to have to walk half an hour to shul, although it would have been longer if I was there. But they didn't want to have to walk that long. They wanted to stay down there. But all of a sudden, the simcha that I allowed to be there, that I showed them, changed everyone's mood. Everyone was different. This is a game changer. It's not like I didn't know this. It's not like everyone here doesn't know this. It's obvious. But then there's the idea of practice, of putting it in practice and actually doing it. What's it like when everyone around you is happy, when everyone around you wants to be there, when everyone around you wants something, versus what it's like when everybody around is just living out their lives and just doing what they need to do to survive and just getting past it? What's it like when that happens? I think that this is why Moshe Rabbeinu was told something in last week's parsha. I said this out in shul, and I think it's 100% true because I thought about it a little bit more. We know what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the people are sitting there with the Yam Suf in front of them. They got huge mountains on the left-hand side, wild animals on the right-hand side, the Egyptians in back of them. There's nowhere else for them to go. And Bnei Yisrael cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, don't worry about anything. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu gets up to Davin, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ma Titzak Eloi, what are you crying out to me for? Dabar Bnei Yisrael v'Yisrael. Speak to Bnei Yisrael, make them travel. And the kasha is, what does it mean? What are you davening to me for? When else do you daven if not in a time of tzara? This is an ace tzara. Of course you're supposed to be davening at this moment. There's no question you daven at this moment. What is the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying? Mati tzakela, what are you crying out to me? This is the time to cry out. What's pshat? So Rashi says, Lamadnu Shayim Moshe Omen of Ispal. Moshe was standing and davening. Amar Allah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lo Eis Ato Laharach B'Tfila. This is not the time to be Marich B'Tfila, to have a lengthened davening. Shei Yisrael Mishun B'Tzara. Because Bnei Yisrael is sitting in pain. The pshat is, to daven, I understand. But standing there and davening with a worried face, standing up there and pleading and crying before a Kodesh Baruch Hu to be saved is not what I need right now, says a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You want to daven? Say a quick tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu, help me. And then turn back to Klal Yisrael, show a confident face, smile at them, and say, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. Don't worry about anything. No worries. No worried face, no crying, nothing. This is not the time for that type of tefillah. It's time for a shorter tefillah. A Kel na refun na la type of tefillah. Say it quick, get it done, and turn around and show Klal Yisrael. If Bnei Yisrael saw Moshe Rabbeinu crying, pleading, begging, they were going to be worried. If they see Moshe Rabbeinu confident, knowing that they're going to be saved, happy that this opportunity arose in front of them, then all of a sudden all Bnei Yisrael is on his side. They want to be like him, and you'll have a Nachshon Ben Aminadav jumping into the sea, assured that everything's going to go well. You'll have Shevet Binyamin following suit. You'll have all the people realizing this is what we have to do right now. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're being told to lead. So lead them.
This is the time for a short tefillah and for you to show that bitachon, for you to show that simcha, to go out there and do it.
The way for things to happen.
That's exactly what happened by Kriyas Yam Suf. So I learned a huge lesson at Disney World. It's a massive lesson. It's a lesson that I want to go in with a different attitude to everything. To smile and to laugh, even when those things don't go the way you plan it to. It's not going to work perfectly. It's not. It never does. But you sit there and you say to yourself, let's do something a little bit different. Let's work this a little bit differently. To try to have that, forget about the positive outlook. That obviously should always be done, to always look at the glasses just half full instead of half empty. Forget about all that. But taking it a step further and saying to ourselves, we can do more than what we've been doing when it comes to our simcha and our enthusiasm to doing certain things. Everything changes. Everything changes when it goes in that way. Morning Seder could be done with a smile. Second Seder could be done with a smile. Not just lunch, and not just breakfast. And dare I say that davening could be done with a smile. You got to get there, but both ways, physically and emotionally, to be able to get there. But it can be done. It can be done. We can do this. We could make ourselves happier. We could make teenagers happier. We could make them actually smile. It works. I'm telling you, it works. Not often, but it does. We can do it. We just have to show that different face, to give off a different vibe, to make it seem different. And plastic characters with big smiles might help as well. That I leave up to you. So we can deal with that later. But that's how I feel. We can change a lot of things that are happening here. Shkayach, everybody.